Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition. Fancy Brian, I'm going to declare the whole week. J6 hearing week, the January 6th Select Committee, they're holding their first hearing in prime time. Well, I guess this is not the first hearing. They did prior hearings. How you doing, Fancy?
I'm glorious. I'm very excited for these hearings.
Oh, you're bold and red today, buddy.
I am.
You're popping at me. Bright red.
I decided to make a bold choice and go with red, the next t-shirt in line.
And then we've got Evan here in the world headquarters. Madison lightly screening the calls. But I've been looking forward to this J6 hearing. Let's get started up in here. Thursday, prime time. And we will be playing it live, 7 p.m. Central Time. We'll be doing it live, baby. Doing it live. And my understanding is they're bringing in like a choreographer and a guy from like Good Morning America, something like that. You know, they're doing her up for live television. And I'm looking forward to it. I've been downright giddy about this whole thing. I hope they don't let me down, Fancy Brian. You know, it better be a spectacular, a blockbuster. I have high expectations.
I don't want you to get your hopes up, Crudy. We've been disappointed before.
Yes. Yes, many times. Many times. Many days. No Merrick Garland Day. But Fancy Brian, we're getting a little bit closer. Here is some of the breaking news at this hour nationally. Tario and other Proud Boy leaders charged with seditious conspiracy over January 6th. New charges rated down from the DOJ. You know, sort of a preview of what's to come, I hope. The Justice Department on Monday charged the head of the Proud Boys, Enrique Tario, and four other leaders with seditious conspiracy in the U.S. Capitol attack on January 6th, 2021. Seditious conspiracy. Now, we've heard this charge prior, but there are a lot of them being charged with this charge now. Apparently, it's a big conspiracy, Fancy Brian. Escalating the criminal case against the far-right extremist group. These are the most aggressive charges brought by the Justice Department. More aggressive. Be aggressive. Be aggressive. Maybe if we cheer for them. Get a POM squad. These are the most aggressive charges brought by the Justice Department against the Proud Boys and are the first allegations by prosecutors that the group tried to oppose by force the presidential transfer of power. By force, they opposed the transfer of power. So not just, you know, tourist. Ron Johnson called them tourist, right? You know, just stayed in the velvet ropes. Not true. Not true.
The mood of the crowd was positive and festive.
Yeah, that's what U.S. Senator Ron Johnson said. You know, he's been whitewashing the whole affair a bit. Well, CNN's got abbreviated coverage. Let's see what the Washington Post says. Because this one, I think, kind of a big deal. An indictment handed up by the federal grand jury in D.C. makes the Proud Boys the second far-right group whose members faced the rare charge in the January 2021 Capitol attack following the Oath Keepers and its founder, Stuart Rhodes. So we'd heard about seditious conspiracy. But this is a different group of conspirators, apparently, Fancy Brian. Again, Henry Enrique Tario, longtime chairman of the board, right? Chairman of the extremist group Proud Boys, was indicted on a new federal charge of seditious conspiracy with four top lieutenants on Monday. The charges expand the Justice Department's allegation of an organized plot to unleash political violence to prevent the confirmation of President Biden's election victory on January 6th, when a pro-Trump mob attacked the U.S. Capitol. Tario, 38, was not even in Washington that day. This is a strange part, but listen a little closer. But allegedly guided the group's activities from nearby Maryland, as Proud Boy members engaged in the earliest and most aggressive attacks to confront and overwhelm police at several critical points on restricted Capitol grounds. One co-defendant, Dominic Palazzo, P-E-Z-Z-O-L-A, Pezzolo. How do you say that, Fancy Brian? P-E-Z-Z-O-L-A.
Pezzola?
It's Enrico Palazzo!
Yeah, something like that. Dominic Pezzola of Rochester, New York, broke through the... Thanks, Brian. I appreciate the cover fire. Broke through the first window of the building at 2:13 p.m. with a stolen police riot shield, authorities say. Well, that hardly seems, you know, like touristy behavior.
The mood of the crowd was positive and festive.
A new 10-count superseding indictment. So whatever indictment we dropped against you prior, this is the superseding indictment. The super-duper indictment, if you will, Fancy Brian. The one returned Monday morning charges Tario, Pezzola, Rico and Palazzo.
It's Enrico Palazzo!
Yeah, thank you. I was trying to remember. He's probably not charged on this particular seditious conspiracy count. And three other existing co-defendants, Ethan Nordine of Seattle, Joe Biggs of the Daytona Beach area, and Zachary Real of Philadelphia, with coordinating travel to D.C. and the movements of the group around the Capitol that day. The group is also accused of plotting to foment a riot and storm Congress, action that eventually forced the evacuation of lawmakers meeting to confirm the 2020 election results. They were plotting to foment a riot, so they wanted that to happen, right? And storm Congress, so they meant to break into the greater chambers violently. You know, maybe with the encouragement of the, you know, former president. We'll see on Thursday. Can't wait till Thursday. I'm very excited about the big primetime J6 hearings getting started on Thursday. Did I mention we're playing them right here on Devil Radio in the Shaw? Going to play them live. Anyways, back to this article. The lead, probably, federal prosecutors previously leveled the historically rare charge of seditious conspiracy for the first time in the J6 attack against the founder and leader of the extremist group, this being redundant because I told you this, Oathkeeper Stuart Rhodes and 10 associates, since filing the charges in January, a year after the mob violence. Two of Rhodes' co-defendants and one other Oathkeeper member have pled guilty to the charge and are cooperating with the Justice Department. Oh, that's how they roll you up against the bigger fish, right? Joshua James, 34, of Alabama, and Brian Ulrich of Georgia, 44. William Todd Wilson, 44, of North Carolina. Those are the cooperating defendants, apparently. But Fancy Brian, the new charges show that prosecutors are pulling together a wider picture of organization within the extremist groups that shared overlapping, if not common, goals. You know, the J6 bringing people together. Here is the conclusion of the Post coverage. At the same time, the deepening criminal investigation has exposed hints of coordination among groups, even as the FBI and Justice Department are expanding their probe into the ranks of former President Donald Trump's political orbit. Now that's what I want to hear. You know, the noose is tightening into the political orbit of the former president. Hell, we saw just what? Peter Navarro, charged on Friday. Now, misdemeanor, contempt of Congress, and I did see that Dan Scafino and Mark Meadows, they were not charged. They were actually released, or the Department of Justice said they would not charge those two, which begs the question, why not? Why not Mark Meadows? Why not the body guy, Dan Scafino? Why did those guys, why are they exempt from contempt of Congress? Yet Peter Navarro gets thrown in jail, handcuffed. He was quite peeved, I guess, Fancy Brian.
Well,
so know, draw a distinction
their invitation,
there.
Then they invited him themselves, yeah.
But Mark Meadows apparently, reportedly, had stopped cooperating. Now, he'd given some initial emails, but I'd love to speculate just a little bit longer. Why do you think Mark Meadows was not charged with contempt of Congress? There was a resolution. They sought the DOJ to charge Meadows, the chief's chief, if you will. Why didn't they charge him?
I don't know. Well, I think the mob analogy has been going on for a while here. And usually during the mob analogy, when the person who, like the people get brought in for questioning, the people that talk a little bit, usually the ones that get, oh, you can go free.
Are you talked? Are you implying that perhaps Mark Meadows has been converted into a cooperative witness?
Well, I got to say he has put himself in, I'd say, a vulnerable position over the last couple months, let's say, and maybe a little bit more inclined to move towards prodding.
Well, Mark Meadows is also alleged to have, what, voted from three different locations?
Yep.
Very interesting. I see here in the state of Wisconsin, the Democratic Party trying to push Tim Michaels, the Trump-endorsed gubernatorial candidate, and we'll talk about this later in the show, but trying to push Michaels off the ballot for improper addresses. Apparently, he has like a mailing address, and then he has a residence address, and the guidance here in the state of Wisconsin says, if that's your circumstance, like Rebecca Clayfish, you must publish both on your signature nomination documents. And Rebecca Clayfish, she did it. She's run for office before, but Michaels, being a little, you know, a Connecticut Yankee and a Badger court, didn't precisely know the procedure, apparently, and has jeopardized his candidacy. Millions of dollars spent already in the endorsement of Donald J. Trump. If this action moves forward, oh, then the Trump endorsed the anointed one, the state of Wisconsin, off the ballot. That's going to sting a little. I think that's going to hurt. I'm not saying it's going to be successful, but there is a little legal precedent. Our friend Jeff Mandel at Law Forward tried to dig a little on that end. Come back, more devil's advocates, seditious conspiracies all around.
Everybody watching can really be very proud of what's taken place.
Thank you. Go get him.
It's Enrico Palazzo.
The devil's advocates may not agree on much, but funny is funny.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Back to work. It's a Monday, everyone. We've got the January 6th committee hearing, the select committee hearing, starting on, what, Thursday, June 9th. And, you know, it is technically my birthday week as well. Birthday month, hell. Come next week, it's me, it's Dom, and it's the former president, Donald Trump. They share a birthday, Flag Day, the 14th.
The entire week's going to be a blur.
Well, the entire week will be surrounded by January 6th committee hearings. Now, it's going to start in prime time. They're going to lead in prime time this Thursday night. And please mark it on your calendar. Buy your popcorn, get your beer, whatever you do when you watch some summer blockbuster. It's time to get a little, you know, little live Hulu and chill. It's time to get ready for the January 6th committee hearing. And if you don't have it in simulcast, try it on the radio. We're going to play it out here on Devil Radio. It'll be on the Devil Radio app. It'll be on the Shaw starting at 7 o'clock this Thursday. But that's not it. It's not a one-night-only event. Coming up, beginning on, I believe it's Monday, June 13th, about 9 o'clock in the morning, I think they're going to go again, Fancy Brian. And then they're going to skip the shared Trump-Dominic birthday on the 14th, and then the 15th and the 16th. Hell, there might be one more day that week. We'll see. And then I think like the 21st and back to primetime on the 23rd, we're going to have to confirm those dates. But there are six public hearings planned. And they're probably going to lead with Mark Meadows, the Chiefs chief, with his chief of staff as witness for the prosecution, or in this case, the J6 committee. The reporting at the Washington Post, in case you were, you know, unplugging from the politics this weekend, January 6th committee to make its case public with primetime hearings, baby. Almost a year after the formation of the House Select Committee investigating the J6 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol, lawmakers are set to make their case public. Oh, man, I can't wait. I'm more eager for this than, like, a kid for Christmas. And I mean that in all sincerity. On Thursday night, Chairman Benny Thompson and Vice Chairwoman Liz Cheney will launch a series of televised hearings featuring a combination of live witnesses, pre-taped interviews with figures that include Trump family members. I do declare I've seen it could be Ivanka and Jared on night number one. Ivanka and Jared. So look forward to that. I hope it's not about the sexy stuff that, you know, between the father and the daughter. I hope they're keeping it to the whole riotous behavior. With figures that include Trump family members and previously unseen video footage, the hearings mark the culmination. It'll be a culmination of an inquiry that has involved more than 1,000 interviews and reviews of more than 125,000 records. Taken together, the work represents the most comprehensive record yet of the deadly assault, and which panel members have come to believe stands out as the only and the most visible evidence of the broader plot to undermine American democracy, one that emanated from the White House. That means Trump. To tell that story, the committee will draw on testimony from administration insiders, including a previously obscure aide who has given the committee a detailed reconstruction of meetings and movements in the West Wing. Oh no, somebody's watching and recording and reporting. Let me tell you a little bit more. The committee also has video recordings of interviews with Trump's daughter Ivanka and her husband Jared Kushner that some inside the process believe will make for gripping television. Do you think the daughter and the son-in-law threw the old man overboard, you know, to save their own asses? I think maybe they did.
If not, they could ask them some really squishy questions, too.
The end result of the committee's efforts remains an open question. Public opinions about the J6 and about former President Donald Trump have long since hardened in competing blocks, making it difficult to break through, even with primetime programming. The committee also has been bedeviled by the lack of cooperation from some Republicans. Let's call them the guilty. Well, just Crudy's characterization, including some of those closest to Trump, leaving potential gaps in the evidence and an apparent deficit, a deficit of high-profile figures willing to take the witness stand. Legally, meanwhile, the investigation may be limited direct consequence. Although the committee can refer cases for prosecution, it is the Justice Department that will ultimately decide whether to file any charges. Still, a criminal referral by Congress of a former U.S. president will be an extraordinary step, and it's coming. I mean, when it's in the Washington Post, this is what the committee is implying is coming to the reporters at the Post. They're not speculating here. And whether it is taken or not, it'll be taken. The hearings will represent a historic moment, one in which the committee unveils evidence of what has been described in court filings as a criminal conspiracy to defraud the United States. Here's a quote. Either way, these hearings are very important in getting that information out there, according to Norm Eisen, a senior fellow with the Brookings Institute. The first hearing is likely to provide the American public with an opening argument and an overview of the events of the day's rioters' assault of the Capitol, as well as the weeks that preceded it. Lawmakers are also expected to focus on the ways in which Trump's false claims of fraud continue to proliferate and threaten the integrity of future U.S. elections, according to people involved with the investigation, who, like others interviewed for this story, spoke on the condition of anonymity. Gotta save the headlines for Thursday night, right, Fancy Brian?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's prime time watching, everybody. But remember, they presented facts in a very powerful way before, and it didn't work.
Well, the fine didn't work. The final hearing?
The impeachments. We saw that live. They saw them. They laid facts, and I'm just saying I'm not too convinced that the American people would be moved.
The final hearing is to be led by Reps Adam Kinzinger and Elaine Loria and focus primarily on Trump and what he did and what went on around him and what he said before January 6th. And on that day, a person familiar with the planning said the few remaining bombshells will come in the final hearing. You're going to have to listen to them all right here on Devil Radio, the Devil Radio app, and of course, the Shaw. Come back, more Devil's Advocates.
The suspense is terrible.
He's going to go this time.
I hope it'll last.
Sarah! Oh, my God!
I would swallow my pride. I would choke on the rinds. But the lack thereof would leave me empty inside. Swallow my doubt. Turn it inside out. Find nothing but faith in
the
nothing.
Devil's Advocates. Radio for the 99%.
It's been round to a beautiful oblivion. Rendezvous, then I'm through.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates, the Monday edition. Fancy Brian, I've got some troubling headlines, both locally and nationally. Before we get to the local headline, here's the national headline. Unholy alliance of MAGA cult and hardcore white supremacists planning assassinations of public officials. Now, we talked on this show the other day, you know, am I fearful of, you know, let's call it MAGA terrorism. And my answer was, no, not really. Not really. I'd be fearful if I was a woman who had a, you know, an ex with a violent history. I think that there are plenty of victims of domestic abuse, but domestic terrorism, you know, some sort of mass shooting, it's so random. And it's often some suicidal person looking for a soft target. But in terms of, you know, political assassinations, things of that sort, no, I do not feel fearful, at least until I saw some headlines over the course of the weekend. Here was one of them. Wisconsin judge shooting suspect had frequent legal trouble, but friends surprised by accusations. The accusation is he assassinated a retired judge in the state of Wisconsin. And above and beyond that, he had a hit list of political figures that included the governor of the state of Wisconsin, Tony Evers, the governor of the state of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer, and Mitch McConnell, the Senate minority leader. Conspicuous in that apparently he's a Republican, right, Fancy? So here's a little of the local reporting from Sophie Carson and Mary Spacuza at the Journal Sentinel. This was a crazy story that broke over the weekend. The man suspected of killing retired Juneau County Judge John Romer previously talked about taking care of a Michigan judge as well, according to a longtime friend. Douglas Udy, 56, doesn't like authority figures and has had frequent legal trouble, said Michigan resident Kevin Baden, who has known him since childhood. But he didn't know that Udy to be a violent person, Baden said. I've never seen in my life seen a violent bone in that man. He was afraid of everybody. The Wisconsin Department of Justice says Udy is the suspect in Romer's killing Friday in the New Lisbon, in his New Lisbon home. Attorney General Josh Call has called the shooting, which has drawn national attention, a targeted attack, and said the assailant appeared to be targeting others related to the judicial system. Sources told the Journal Sentinel that Governor Tony Evers was on a list of officials Udy was targeting. ABC News then reported that a so-called hit list was found in the suspect's vehicle with names that included Evers, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, and U.S. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican of Kentucky. I think I gave you that list. According to the DOJ, the Juneau County Sheriff's Office received a call around 6:30 a.m. Friday about an armed person in a New Lisbon home where two shots had been fired. Law enforcement entered Romer's home around 10:17 a.m. AM after failed attempts to negotiate with Udy. Romer was dead, 68 at the time, the retired judge. Udy was found in the basement with an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. He was transported to the hospital and was in critical condition as of Saturday. Now, Romer handed down a burglary sentence. Apparently, the alleged shooter was a defendant in the court of the now dead, the assassinated. Years ago, Romer sentenced Udy to prison on a burglary charge, court records show, in connection with an August 2001 armed burglary out of an Adams County home. Udy entered a no contest plea and was found guilty of burglary, carry a concealed weapon, possession of a short-barreled shotgun, and being a felon in possession of a firearm. In 2002, he was sentenced to 10 years in prison and 7 years of extended supervision. Udy won an appeal and was allowed to withdraw his plea after the 4th District Appellate Court ruled the judge in the case should have explained the state's truth and sentencing rules during the plea hearing. Truth and sentencing rules, those came from Scott Walker. They must be good. The appellate court decision was later reversed by the state Supreme Court. The case was reopened and went before Romer, who in 2005 sentenced Udy to 6 years in prison and 9 years of extended supervision. Udy escaped from the Fox Lake Correctional Institution, a minimum security prison, in 06, according to the online Wisconsin Department of Corrections records. According to authorities, he walked away from custody while painting the inside of a house at the Baraboo Circus World Museum grounds. He was captured about 3 weeks later, and following convictions related to the escaped, well, he received additional prison time. In April of 2020, Udy was released from Stanley Correctional Institution, a medium security prison. So, this guy obviously had a record and a relationship with the judge. But this guy that friends described as, you know, being afraid of everyone and, you know, anti-authority, but effectively a harmless person, violent, lacking in violence, at least historically up until this point. Although I would say the prior charges of having a short-barreled shotgun at the scene of a burglary, that's not a simple breaking and entering. That's breaking and entering with an armed weapon. So, you know, I'm going to set aside the quote about, you know, no history of violence. Vance Brand, you were...
I read a Politico piece about profiling shooters in general, and they interviewed about 180 of them, or at least profiled 180 of them in general, just to get some similarities and things. And they one of the things that I took away from there was to look at these shootings and these type of killings, even if dude had a list, as not as murders, but as suicides, because most of these people do not plan on living through this, and this is their final act. So I think if we look at this through the lens of a suicide rather than a murder, I think we have a little bit more insight in as to where this guy is coming from and why this stuff happens.
Well, I tied this together, and you're always welcome to join this big program at 844-967-2789. You know, I thought back about the conversation we just had last Thursday or Friday about, you know, political violence. And I also saw this, you know, this other headline. Originally, this published at the New Yorker. I saw the Raw Story version first. Unholy alliance of MAGA cult and hardcore white supremacists planning assassinations of public officials. And this is according to U.S. Security Analysis. An alliance of right-wing extremists and hardcore Donald Trump supporters have come together since the January 6th insurrection. And law enforcement officials are gravely concerned. Yeah, I'm starting to be a little bit myself. The confederation was predictable and indeed was predicted by Homeland Security officials who are no less alarmed to see how emboldened extremists have become since the insurrection caused their numbers to swell with new recruits, according to the New Yorker. I did read that source as well. That's a much longer article, not quite ready for a broadcast conversation. On January 6th, we had neo-Nazis hanging out with a bunch of otherwise just MAGA people, according to Elizabeth Newman, who served as DHS Assistant Secretary of Counterterrorism and Threat Prevention during the Trump administration. That's an opportunity to recruit. Did you get it? They met some like-minded souls amongst the Capitol sheeple. Some of the U.S. Capitol rioters awaiting trial in the District of Columbia jail have formed an almost cult-like bond while locked up. And another former DHS official said that could be seen as symbolic of the alliances forming between disparate extremist groups after the former president's loss. One of the things, this is a quote, folks, one of the things that makes the current threat environment complicated for law enforcement and intelligence is the blending that occurs, according to John Conan, who is the acting DHS chief of intelligence during the first year of Joe Biden's presidency. People who may have come from very different ideological backgrounds or somewhat different ideological backgrounds are coalescing around certain things. Cohen said the unit he oversaw had picked up some disturbing and unmistakable patterns. Anti-government militia, hardcore white supremacists, and even people more from the anarchist movement have come together, Cohen said. Their goals are explicit. And here's what's got me troubled, Fancy. Assassination of elected officials and violent activities to resist government activities or programs. Cohen pointed to a white supremacist's recent mass shooting at a grocery store in Buffalo as an example of this escalating threat. In my 38 years plus of law enforcement, this is the most complex threat environment I've ever seen. We have an unacceptable level of violence by people who are influenced and inspired by content they see online. I'm really effing concerned about where we are. Yeah. Crudy's a little effing concerned himself.
If you look at these people as kamikazes, it's really hard to harden that target. Because if you're going in on a suicide mission and you see someone with a rifle, you go, yay, that's what I wanted. This is not good. These groups are you have a bunch of people who are willing to go out on a swan song, to go out in a blaze of glory, who are willing to go and kill themselves and now have a motive and a way to go and further the cause and go out in a blaze of glory with no repercussions.
844-967-2789 if you want to join the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom's going to join in the happy hour at 4. You could join us right now. You know, Fancy Brian, there's a little closer to home example of what I see as this, you know, sort of action sort of culminating right before our very eyes. You remember Kyle Rittenhouse, the young vigilante sort? Guy was only 17 years old, right? High school kid, got a gun, couldn't even buy a gun. Got someone else to buy a gun for him. Someone gave him a ride up to Wisconsin. And, you know, he's there to protect a auto parts store or something in his own thought process. There to be a hero, a vigilante. Well, he killed a couple people that night. And he maimed another. And what is so very troubling to me is he was acquitted on the charges. Because effectively, if you're 17 years old and you got an AR-15, you go running through the streets shooting at people because, you know, you feel like your life's in danger. Well, apparently that's justified homicide. Apparently you're allowed to do that. Well, this kid's barely 18 years old now. Rittenhouse. And Rittenhouse has made some bold claims, you know, said he's doing lots of different stuff. One of the things he keeps claiming he's going to do is go to the University of Texas A&M. And the University of Texas A&M continuously has said, no, you're not. A, you haven't qualified, and B, you haven't enrolled. So you are not going to our university, at least not this year. So anyways, we've got an update on the status of Kyle Rittenhouse, hashtag college man. He has apparently enrolled at Blinn College. B-L-I-N-N College. Blinn. It's Bliss at Blinn. I feel quite confident. Kyle Rittenhouse now says he's going to Blinn College after Texas A&M says he's not a student. Well, here's something you should know. Here's what Rittenhouse said. You know, it's kind of a sad statement. Feeling a little sad himself. Unfortunately, the end of my high school career was robbed from me. What about the couple of dead people? But I read on. I didn't have the time other students to get properly prepared for the future. I look forward to attending Blinn College District this this year, a feeder school to Texas A&M. I'm excited to join Texas A&M in 2023. A Blinn College spokesperson said he had applied, but had not enrolled for a current or upcoming term at Blinn, which is an open enrollment college, meaning all students are welcome. Seems like a low standard.
I think he's waiting for someone to drive up and do it for him.
Does he get his gun back at the end of the term? I want my gun back. Come back. More Devils Advocates. You could be next. 844-967-2789.
You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
No, I'm not going to join a cult.
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monkey Edition. The first week of June, the January 6th hearing starting on Thursday. I'm celebrating a birthday this Sunday and going on Foxy News. You know, I don't care what they ask me. I'm talking about the January 6th hearings. This time for sure, I swear to God, all you people, mark my words.
Are you going
to
pull a CJ no matter what they're talking about? You're just going to say whatever the heck you want to say?
You know, I was flipping down the dial today, and I heard CJ on Tom Hartman's show again.
Oh, God.
So just for the record, CJ, you're not welcome here today. You've used it up on another fine progressive radio product. But, yeah, CJ's already burned a host or two today. So, you know, we're moving beyond CJ. But 844-967-2789. If your name is not CJ, you're welcome here. Matt from Minneapolis, that includes you.
Oh, hey, Crudy.
Hey, Matt.
I'm really disheartened with a lot of what happened in Philadelphia. That's my hometown, and, you know, it's just seeing the places that I used to hang out like 20 years ago when I was in my early 20s, and just seeing that like as like a place that was a target, it really hits pretty close to home. I mean, I'm saddened that there are people that are, you know, dead from this. And, you know, it's like I've got kids that are of school age that go to schools. And, you know, something that really stuck out to me that I heard on the Santita Jackson show on Friday was that we're living in an age where we've got a really massive anger issue. And then while I was on hold, it started to dawn on me that for as many reasons as we can come up with for the reasoning behind all these shootings, it's not reasonable, and that as many shootings as there are, there's going to be that many reasons in their mind for going to do something beyond they're unhinged, and they can become, you know, the good guy with a gun can become unhinged at any moment. And that's kind of where I see the problem. They're just never... You got to take the guns away from these guys because, I don't know. I mean, that's the part of the equation. Every other country has mental instability, but they don't have the shootings because they don't have the other ingredient, the guns, for the unhinged people. I don't know.
Well, you make an excellent point, Matt. I would say, and I appreciate you listening on AM 950 KTNF up in Minneapolis. The other ingredients do exist if you believe Republicans what the other ingredients are. You know, they're America's cinema and their rap music and their, you know, first-person shooter video games. And, of course, high Joe Biden inflation at the gas pumps got people unhinged. But all those things exist in other countries as well. American culture is world culture. People want our culture. They gobble it up all around the world. So it's not that other people haven't been exposed to the same stuff that America's kids have. The biggest difference is, in other countries, they don't live under fear of being shot in a public place or in their schools. There's no history to this. And if there is, the other countries seemingly had the political will to end it, to take guns away, to do gun buybacks, like Australia, like New Zealand, like lots of places in the world. And we're the only ones that never seem to solve anything except thoughts and prayers. Well, you know, here's something I think would perhaps move the needle at least slightly. There are Georgia parents that are looking, Uvalde parents that are looking to sue the Georgia manufacturer of the newest AR-15 manufactured for use in this latest, you know, massacre, at least the one in Texas, because there was one in Philadelphia that Matt referenced, and there were several over the course of the weekend. Every day there's a mass shooting now, sometimes multiple mass shootings. Can't even keep track of them. Well, it's not all unhinged people. And yeah, there's certainly a mix of domestic violence in there, but those are usually targeted against someone, you know, the victim knew the perpetrator. But most of these mass shootings of late, they're carnage. They're caused by a weapon of mass destruction, or at least a weapon of war. 844-967-2789. Joe from Madison, welcome back. What do you got?
Well, I just wanted to comment, taking you out of the hour, perhaps, on this wonderful comment by Kyle Rittenhouse, who claimed he was going to be attending Texas A&M, but Texas A&M said, no, you are not. And then apparently he's claiming he's going to Blinn College, which apparently he's enrolled, but he hasn't signed up for any classes because he's, you know, so terribly busy. But the last item they said about this guy in an article I was looking at, Crudy, is even better, because previously Mr. Rittenhouse had claimed he was studying nursing at Arizona State University before a spokesperson said, no, he has not enrolled and not gone through the admissions process. Pathological liar much? I mean, where is this guy going to go with his kind of loose association with truth?
MAGA World brought it up. Is going to be embraced by the Trumpster MAGA World. That's where he is, a bright shining star. Look at Herschel Walker, the Georgia senatorial candidate. I mean, the guy had a distinguished football career, but the guy lied and basically said he graduated as valedictorian of his high school class. They didn't award any such award. He said he graduated like in the top 1% of his Georgia college class. The guy never graduated from college. He said he owns like one of the biggest corporations in Georgia, a corporation that does not exist. And he's the nominee for the Republican Party in Georgia for the U.S. Senate. They need this guy to beat Warnock to win back the U.S. Senate, the advantage. So lying is almost a prerequisite, Joe. If you can't lie well enough, you cannot represent the GOP.
It's true. It's true about lying.
You know, it's all sort of lying with a purpose. You know, little white supremacist lies, if you will, Joe.
Yeah, right.
Appreciate you calling and listening. Thank you, Joe. Always appreciate Joe's calls. You can be like Joe. You can always join this big program. The Monday edition, the J6, it's getting started on Thursday. I can't wait. And your phone calls, you could keep rolling through to the happy hour and the happier happy hour. Dime's joining next. But you, fair listener, you are always welcome here at 844-967-2789. You know, I was hoping you'd play something for your red shirt fans, Graham. You know, woman in red, I don't know. You know, firewoman, I like that, but That red's popping, baby. There's a happening color on you.
I'll save that Simply Red for Dom.
Come back. More Devil's Advocate. The happy hour starts right now.
Going to ignore this particular problem until it swims up and bites you on the ass.
Peachtree Dish.
It's Enrico Palazzo!